Hey everyone, this is Karen Elizabeth Patton Jack's baby girl. How y'all doing today on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Saturday? You know, it rained and then the sun came out and then it gets gloomy and then the sun comes out. And you know, that's kind of what life is. You have rain and then you always know that the sun is coming out. Always know that the sun is coming out. We have got a great show for you all today. So we want to go on and get started. We do want to wish everyone celebrating a birthday happy birthday today. We will acknowledge you all a little later because we want to go on and get started. Hold on, I want to make sure that I got my banner up here. Okay. So today, I've got a really special guest that I'm really, really, really excited about. Her name is Patricia Turner, and she is a clinical social worker. She's a therapist, actually happened to be my therapist. And so she's going to come on today and talk with us a little bit. So I'm just going to share a little bit about Patricia with you all. She has a master's degree in social work. She has a bachelor's degree in social work, and she has a BS degree in applied organizational management. She's actually been a therapist for over 20 years. So she has a lot of experience, and she happens to be an amazing therapist. I might be a little biased, but she is. She works with individuals and also families and children on addiction and or mental illness, because a lot of times you may have both of those. She currently works as a psychotherapist in a community mental health agency. She holds a license in clinical social work. She's trained to treat acute trauma and PTSD. And she also has been designated as a mandatory pre-screening agent by the Commissioner of Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. So that's awesome. She's a member of the Tennessee Association of Black Social Workers. She's also a member of the Washington County Sexual Assault Task Force, and she is the owner of Treatment Solutions in Morristown, Tennessee. Her motto is, I am my brother's keeper. So she is an amazing person. And so we're going to go on and we're going to bring her in right now. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, Karen.
How are you? Thank
I'm
you for
good.
joining. Thank you so much for joining.
Let me scoot over just a little bit so I'm in view.
Okay, you're fine. I can see you. Can
Okay.
you hear me okay?
I can.
All right. So you all, we're going to go on to get started because we have a lot to talk about today. Please know if you have questions or comments, please put it in the comment section. Also, please like and share. People are going to want to hear this amazing information. I'm going to post on the Facebook page how to get in touch with Patricia, her email address, her telephone number, and everything that you would need to get in touch with her. Also, those of you that are going to be able to watch it a little bit later, thank you so much. And those of you that are going to be able to hop on right now, I know it's Saturday and you're doing all your Saturday stuff, and a lot of times you come back and look at it later. So I really, really appreciate that. Okay, so Patricia, let's get started. First of all, I want to, so we always try to start at a foundation and build up in the corner. So
Okay.
first of all, I'd like to ask you, what do you do? Because a lot of people will say, I'm not going to a counselor. There's nothing they can help me with. You know, she doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. So there's nothing that I can do. So talk to me about what do you do? What is the expectation in your session and what's your goal?
Okay. Well, first, let me say thanks for having me on, Karen. I love coming in and I love talking to people about mental illness just because I know so many people suffer in silence. So I love coming in and talking about it and just making it something hopefully that we get used to talking about and we get rid of all the shame and stigma around it. That is a great question. because one of the things that I hear from people about going to therapy is, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. Well, let me set the record straight. A good therapist does not tell you what to do. You know, a good therapist just guides you to find the answer within yourself. So a good therapist does not tell you what to do. Going to therapy is really about looking at some of those processes maybe in life that are like maladaptive behaviors, poor coping skills, things like that, and really just kind of digging out that information from you. All the answers are within you. And so we're just the guide to help you find the answers to those questions. The very first thing that happens when someone comes in to see me is it's all about building rapport. And when I train social workers, what I say to them is, before anything else, the most important thing is that relationship that you build with a client. It doesn't matter what techniques you use. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, you know, what form of therapy you're using. The only thing that matters is that relationship, mm-hmm. because the healing is actually in the relationship you form mm-hmm. with your therapist. Exactly. The other thing, mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And the other thing I want to say is that, you know, often people come in and they go one time to mm-hmm. see a therapist, and then mm-hmm. they say, oh, you know, it didn't help me. It didn't work. Well, you can't really tell by just going one time whether or not it's going to be helpful. I can just be honest and tell you that nothing magical is going to happen during the first session, because it is going to be about building mm-hmm. that rapport. And that's another misconception. I think people come in with the idea that, hey, I'm going to walk in day one, meet my therapist, and I'm mm-hmm. going to come out and some of these problems are going to be solved.
Right.
Unfortunately, not.
Right. And let's actually, go ahead.
No. Go ahead and ask your question.
I can actually comment on that, family, because one of the hardest things about going to counseling is being truthful with yourself. And that hurts sometimes, because you have to bring up things and admit things that you feel very uncomfortable doing, some things that you have never said out loud, that you just kind of kept dormant because you dare say it to anybody or admit it to anybody. And it's a lot of work on your part. It's a lot of work on your part, but it can totally be successful if you go in, trust, and you're open-minded, because the therapist doesn't know you from Adam, you know, but they're trained to work with you and to help bring that out of you. I too had the same thoughts about a therapist. I'm a nurse, I'm a master's degree nurse, you know, what can a therapist tell me? I've studied it. Wrong, totally, totally wrong. So thank you for just kind of opening that up. And so your goal is always for that person to find the answer inside themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because that's where the issue starts. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the answer is.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important. Just know that the answers are already inside you. All we're going to do is guide you to help you pull out those answers. Mm-hmm. Because no one knows you better than you.
Right.
And so
now I also want to say that somebody else may have put that trauma or those issues in your life mm-hmm. or in your path. Mm-hmm. You know, you may own them because they're in you, but somebody else could have really put that in your path, that trauma, for you to experience that, to have the issues that you're having today.
Absolutely. Yep. And again, that's part of what you will discover is, mm-hmm. you know, where the trauma started from. Mm-hmm. You know, for the majority of people I work with, trauma starts in early childhood. It starts with our family of origin. And in fact, that is where the majority of our issues start. So mm-hmm. you have to be pretty comfortable in talking about some of those things. And I can tell you from my own journey that when you begin to do that, it is very, it's very uncomfortable, because if you did not grow up in a very functional household, some of the lessons that we learn are not to go outside the house and talk. You know, so that is very uncomfortable in the beginning. Hence the reason for that rapport you build with your therapist. Part of that rapport should be trust.
Exactly.
You trust this person, and you trust this person with your secrets. So that's very important.
So we're going to talk about a few topics, family. We're going to talk about trauma. We're going to talk about the increase in suicide in young people, and also the increase in just mental illness for adults and young people. So let's start with suicide. When I looked up some statistics and I put that on Facebook, you guys, it has like almost doubled or tripled with the number of people that have thought about suicides, the number of people that have actually attempted suicides, and then of course we know the people that actually went through with it. You know why the increase? It seems like so many children at 61, they're children. You know, 25 is a child to me, 17 is a child to me, 10 is definitely a child to me. Why do we have so many suicides? What's going on with that?
Well, you know, I will say that I typically work with adults. I don't do a whole lot of work with younger folks. But what I know is that social media has a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. You know, kids today have a lot to deal with in terms of socialization, and, you know, their lives can be just put out there on social media. Mm-hmm. And there's bullying. There have been these school shootings. All these things increase stress. And if you're not in a home where your parents are emotionally available and are actually talking to you about these things, often what happens is kids go inside themselves. They try to figure it out for themselves. They're on social media looking up information, mm-hmm. which we all know is not always the truth. So they just have a lot going on, a lot of stressors, a lot mm-hmm. more than I did when I was growing up, when mm-hmm. I think about it. Mm-hmm. I think social media is great, but I also think it's a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, social media does a lot of stigmatism. Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to be a certain shape, and you're supposed to be able to afford to get your nails and your hair done, or you're not going to be accepted and mm-hmm. all of that. And I know just sometimes we read about children that have committed suicide over some of the smallest things mm-hmm. that they felt no way out, mm-hmm. you know, just no way out. Even in the small town that I live in, we've had, you know, some suicides that I just can't even fathom, you know, how the parents feel, you know, not their fault, just whatever the child was going through and just wanted to end it. Uh-huh. You know, I know in my marriage many, many years ago, there were times that I thought death would be a whole lot easier than going home to what I was going home to, you know, just the peace of it. Now, a lot of people would not admit that, but, you know, I have nothing to lose because I'm already worked through it. But that's really, really hard when you look at the suicide. So what about, let's talk about how we get to this point of suicide, how we get to this point of mental illness. And I know that you really, really studied and you really focus on adolescence trauma.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, I have not worked with as many adolescents. Mm-hmm. The adolescents and teens that I've worked with have mostly been in a crisis setting. One of the things that I do is go to some of the local hospitals and do mm-hmm. suicide evaluations to see if folks can be, if we can, you know, contract for safety and send them home, or if they need to go to a psychiatric facility. Mm-hmm. So the majority of the work that I have done with teens and adolescents is through crisis work. Mm-hmm. And so what I can say is, when we hear about a teen suicide, that's basically what we hear about. We hear the devastation, and we hear about, you know, maybe what caused or what led the person to that suicide. Often, though, what we find out is the teen has already had some incidents of mental illness, maybe mm-hmm. some hospitalizations, but certainly some some maybe mental health treatment, a previous diagnosis, or, you know, they were prescribed medications, stuff that you don't know. And I know last night when I was looking up some of the information, I was surprised to find that in teens between the ages of 15 and 19, the leading cause of death was unintentional self-harm. So that basically means they didn't mean to.
Right.
The second leading cause in that age group is homicide. And so I have to think that that has a lot to do with gang activity. And then the third leading cause was intentional suicide. The lowest group. So that was very interesting. But when I think about teen suicide, I think about it the same way as adults who become suicidal. Most of the time, they are not telling anyone that this is what they're thinking. You know, they've got all those negative thoughts going on in their mind, and they're not talking to anyone, or going in and talking to a therapist and being honest about those thoughts so that we can process those, which are most of the time what we call irrational thinking.
So I know you and I discussed it. A lot of times when adults go through trauma, it's because of adverse childhood experiences.
Absolutely.
And the things that they experienced as a child. So could you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. Trauma has become a big topic lately, and it is because of the ACEs, the adverse childhood experience. And this is a test that you can actually go online and take. I would advise anybody to do it, even if you don't think that you have trauma. One of the most difficult things for people to understand about trauma is it is what you decide is trauma. You
know, I'll post that to family.
So yeah, absolutely. It's a deeply distressing event or experience, but that might be different for everybody because we all process things in a different way. My trauma may not be your trauma. So I always tell people, try not to judge a person's trauma and say, oh, well, you know, that's no big deal. Why is that traumatic? We just don't know.
Exactly.
People process trauma in different ways.
Exactly.
But I think it's very important for us to know that our traumas are important. We can live out that trauma over and over and over in our lives. And of course, with negative results. So it is very important if you do identify, even think maybe you have some trauma, is to go in and talk about that. Start to talk about the trauma.
And, you know, a lot of times, Patricia and family, when we talk about trauma, we think about rape. We think about molestation. We think about violence. You know, we think about parents beating their children or seeing their dads, you know, beat their mom or kill their mom, you know, or something like that. But trauma, as Patricia said, could be something as small as, for example, when Patrice was between maybe six or nine, she was watching the Eddie Murphy movie about the Clumps and how big Eddie Murphy was and how he wanted to lose weight. That was the Clumps, right?
Yeah.
Is that that's the name of it. Okay. So after that, she got this, she just started thinking that she was fat. And so as anorexics do, she went to the biggest part of her body, which was her thighs. And she literally stopped eating. You all, she stopped eating. She started looking at the fat amount in packages and all of this at this early age. That was trauma to her. She was traumatized by just that, you know, funny movie. We just thought it was a funny movie, but she was actually traumatized by it to the point where family members could not say to her, wow, Patrice, you're getting big. You know, it was like, wow, Patrice, you're really growing up into a young lady. So we really had to watch our verbiage. I had to watch the things that she watched on television and so forth. And it took a while. It was really kind of scary, you know, at that time. But that was trauma to her. So as you say, it was trauma to me may not be trauma to you. And if you hadn't walked in my shoes, then you can't experience what I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, so one of the things is that trauma is very, very common. And there are some statistics about that. So mm-hmm. 1 in 5 Americans have been molested. And 1 in 4 people grew up in a home with an alcoholic. Oh, wow. And 1 in 3 couples have experienced violence in their relationship. And so there's a direct correlation with that trauma and addiction. And mm-hmm. I've worked in addiction for a lot of years. And mm-hmm. I would have to guess that 90% or better of the folks that I've worked with mm-hmm. that go on to develop a dependency, a serious dependency, have had early childhood trauma, often childhood sexual abuse, mm-hmm. physical abuse. So mm-hmm. that's significant. Those are significant numbers when I think about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how many people knew that. I actually had to do some.
I think it's a very high increase in numbers. Very high increase in numbers.
Absolutely. So that tells you anything about the amount of trauma. And the other thing that we have to talk about is generational trauma. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at these folks that have this trauma passing mm-hmm. the same trauma down to their offsprings. Mm-hmm. So, and then it just creates more and more. And it is a lot of why we're talking about trauma now and we're using the ACEs.
Exactly. We've talked a lot in the Corner family about generational curses mm-hmm. and how we're going to break that curse with your generation, with the generation of your children, your grandchildren. We're not going to just carry it on. Mm-hmm. As Patricia said earlier, you know, you don't talk about it. You know, you put it in the closet and you lock the door and excuses were made for the person that may have molested. Well, you know, he ain't never been right or she ain't never been right since her husband died. You know, but you never talked about a depression or anxiety or, you know, suicide or anything like that. Not, I mean, even when I was growing up, you didn't talk about, you know, anything like that, nothing Absolutely. Like that. It was all hush, hush. Mm-hmm. And so now it's really changed, Patricia, because of the amount that is talked about, maybe because of the number increase. You know, we're not where we should be, but it's definitely changed with the knowledge of mental illness. And why do you think that?
Well, I think that for a lot of different reasons, but I think that we're starting to realize the connection between mental illness and physical illness. I'm part of the Northeast Tennessee Association of Black Social Workers, mm-hmm. and we have took on as our goal, as our vision for our organization, mm-hmm. educating people about mental illness, you know, going into the community and talking to those families that are experiencing grief because of, let's say, overdose. The overdose rates, especially in Northeast Tennessee, where I'm at, are horrendous. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking to people about that. We're talking about where can I get help, mm-hmm. me. What are the local mental health agencies in my area? What is that process going to be about? Mm-hmm. Because honestly, next to people being afraid that somebody's going to tell them what to do when they go into therapy, the other part of that is fear. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Having done my own therapy for a lot of years, mm-hmm. I understand that fear. Mm-hmm. But I also can tell you how helpful it was and how much of a life changer it was for me. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think there's a lot of different reasons.
So I kind of heard, are you comparing or are you putting trauma, and we know mental, but are you putting trauma and physical illness kind of in the same hat?
Absolutely. And it is one of the things that I've been trying to educate my clients on probably over the last 2 or 3 years, because the clients who come in with significant health problems, let's mm-hmm. say they've had cancer in the past, let's say they have heart issues and they're mm-hmm. diabetic and they've got chronic pain. The majority of those people have significant trauma. Mm-hmm. And what people don't know is the body retains the trauma. The trauma gets in the body. It gets in the brain. The brain remembers mm-hmm. and it makes you sick. It makes you physically sick. So mental health providers and physical health providers, doctors have come together over probably the last 10 years and mm-hmm. come to the table and said, how can we do this? We recognize the correlation between mental health and physical health. So what do we need to do? So we've got primary care doctors now doing testing in their mm-hmm. office to mm-hmm. see depression, anxiety, who has that, what's going on with those folks, and then referring them to us for mental health treatment. I think you posted, you have the slide for the book by Dr. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. If you'll post that information.
Yes.
Yeah. So this book, The Body Keeps Scores, is an excellent read. I would recommend anyone who thinks they suffer with trauma to read this book. It's an easy read. It's not hard. But he has studied trauma for a long time, and just the way he explains it mm-hmm. is just wonderful. I mean, you will really understand. You will come to understand the connection between mental health and physical health.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely. Very, very, very important. Very important to understand.
So I know myself. And this just popped in my mind, but I know myself, I broke out into a really bad rash. It seemed like it just came up overnight. I was like, where in the world did this rash come from? So I went to the doctor. So we were talking about it. The doctor said, what is different in your life? And I'm like, nothing. I'm not on any new medications or anything like that. I said, I'm taking care of my mom. And my stress level is like overflowing. He said, well, that's where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's what he said. Your anxiety and your stress with mm-hmm. this kind of shift in your life mm-hmm. is coming through your body. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where, you know, the rash came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coming through your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting the number of people who come in and say they have fibromyalgia. A lot of psychiatrists don't believe in fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Fibromyalgia is thought to be pain mm-hmm. in the body caused mm-hmm. by depression, caused mm-hmm. by mental illness. So mm-hmm. that's even proof that mm-hmm. mental illness can manifest itself within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that a lot of the rare forms of cancer are linked to stress. So that, you know, that's one of the, I think, important points mm-hmm. of the book, is that we're talking about how that stress manifests into the body and how mm-hmm. it manifests into things like cancer and mm-hmm. maybe MS and things mm-hmm. like that. So mm-hmm. it's very important now for us to understand that link.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, you know, if we can't get people in to talk about mental health to begin with, mm-hmm. we can get them in to talk about, why am I having such a tough time with regulating my diabetes?
Right.
Why is it that, you know, I can't regulate my high blood pressure, even mm-hmm. though I'm taking medication?
Mm-hmm.
So we a lot of times can begin the discussion there, and people are a little more comfortable with it.
Sure. Do you see a lot of, have you seen the number of African Americans increase coming to counseling?
Absolutely. And that's our goal, because we know that African Americans, we don't trust professionals. Mm-hmm. I mean, and for a lot of different reasons.
Generational, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Because yes. we go back in history.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, we, you know, there have been times when we've been used, you know, as, mm-hmm. as sort of testers of mm-hmm. different things, you know, mm-hmm. and so we remember that, and that information gets passed down generation after generation.
Exactly.
So we really have a distrust of medical professionals. So we're starting to talk more about that. Organizations like mine, we're starting to go out and talk to people. We're starting to provide basic information mm-hmm. just by saying, hey, you can come in and talk about what you want to talk about. And no one is going to try to tell you what to do, tell you how to live your life, tell you the way that you're living your life now is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not what it's about. So I think advertisements on television, mm-hmm. you know, people
yes.
seeing African Americans getting treatment, you know, discussions mm-hmm. like the one we're having today.
Yes.
I think it's changing. Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah,
that's why I, you know, having this podcast, you know, I go from podcast and blog. I'm not really sure what it is,
mm-hmm.
but I knew going into this that I was going to have to share a little bit of myself. because I wanted people to understand that some of the topics, not all of them, but some of the topics that we talk about, I've walked through those shoes, or I'm walking through those shoes. You know, you were my counselor, but you just telephone call or email away. You know, I've had another one since you, but I can say personally, family, some of the questions that Patricia posed to me were very, very hard. Some I was able to answer, some I really had to think about. I really had to search myself again, that truth, you know, in yourself. And sometimes people will get upset, you know, when you go into that area of their mind or their soul or their heart, that they have to really search and really be truthful with themselves. And so that just kind of blocks the healing process.
Yeah, it does, because that's one of the things, you know, I really want to express to people is that therapy is hard work. There's a huge reward for at the other end, but it's hard work because, again, you are going to talk about things that are uncomfortable. You are going to get angry. You are going to cry. You know, one of the things that one of the techniques that I use, as opposed to telling someone to do something, or is to just say, why don't you think about that? You know, have you ever thought about this? You know, take some time and think about that, you know, all in a very non-judgmental way, because again, you know, I never want to make anybody feel like I'm telling them what to do or like I know everything, because I don't. All I know is what you tell me. You're the expert on you. So often I will just say to people, have you ever thought about it? You know, what do you think about it? That kind of thing. So absolutely.
Very good point. That's a very good point when you said that you are your own expert. Absolutely. So as we kind of close, Patricia, your 20 years of experience, have you ever been in a situation that made you feel uncomfortable? Have you ever been in a situation that was really, really challenging to you as a counselor that you may had to look at yourself, kind of, you know, enter yourself as a counselor? I would think that if I was a counselor and somebody talked about being molested, I would probably revisit that again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing, and when I am training therapists, one of the things that I will say to them, and I'll say to any client, I'm human. I'm just human. I have issues. I've had things I've had to work through. And it's very important to not feel like you're going to come in and have these sessions with people and hear about people's issues and not have that impact you in any way. You know, transference and countertransference are both things that whereby the client transfers feelings to the therapist, or the therapist transfers feelings to the client, which of course is based on our own experiences. Sure. Absolutely. Throughout my career, I've had those moments. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're trying to do is to go and get our own help, you know, to go and get supervision when you have a tough session and maybe what you've been through gets triggered. So it's happened a lot over the years. So, you know, I'll go into one of my coworkers' offices all the time and say, you know, I had a tough session and talk about that. And I always recommend that anyone who wants to be a therapist, you really need to go and have that experience for yourself. So you know what that experience is like. And I can tell you, for a long time, I was in therapy. And I actually am glad that I did it that way before I came into the field. Because I feel like now I have a better understanding of what the other person sitting across from me is going through.
Right, because you've walked through those shoes. It's so different when you talk about different topics. Because we talk a lot in the corner family. You all have agreed and heard me say this. You know, we can't judge people if we hadn't walked through their shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you walk through those shoes, you hadn't walked through everybody's shoes. But if you walk through those shoes, then you're a better relator. And you can understand what they're talking about and where they are and understand their fear, you know.
Absolutely.
But you also know that, you know, there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm telling you, when you get to that light, it's like bricks off of you.
Absolutely.
Bricks that you didn't even know, family, that you had on you. You know, just the heavy weight that you kind of lay dormant somewhere, not talked about, thought you had forgotten about it. You know, we talked about forgive and forget, thought you had forgotten about it, but it was just laying dormant, and then it surfaced and you were able to deal with it and then really be honest with yourself. And what therapy showed me too is some of the things that happened to me as a child explain some of the things I did as I grew up.
Absolutely.
You know, and not really understanding why I made some of the decisions growing up, but then after talking to you, realizing some of the things I went through as a child, that's why I made the decision. You know, it's like ding, ding, the light went out. That's why I did that or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Really eye-opening.
We spend a lot of our time, if we have unhealed trauma, we can live through that trauma for the rest of our lives, repeating some of the same patterns over and over again and not understanding that. And what's really going on is it's us trying to work out that trauma. The problem is often we're trying to work it out with the same type of people in the exact same way as the way the trauma occurred, and that doesn't work. So we continue these unhealthy patterns throughout our lives. We continue to live out that trauma over and over again. And so that's really important to come in and look at that. Look at what we're doing as far as our trauma.
Yep. And, you know, one other thing as we close, you guys, and I want you to be thinking about, Tricia, I always end with what I know that I know that I know that I know. So as a counselor, I'd like for you to take us out on that. But before we go, as Patricia just said, a counselor is not in the mama NIM. Mama NIM is everybody. Your auntie, your auntie, your uncle, your first cousin, past three, you know, that's mama NIM. The counselor's not in mama NIM. Okay. They don't sing in the choir with you. They don't go to church with you. They don't have any type of emotional connection, you know, so they can be very open in making decisions. Now, you go talk to somebody that loves you, they may or may not say the things to you that you need to hear. But a counselor has been trained to do that, and they're going to. So you have to be open-minded when you go and talk to a counselor. I don't want to say the counselor doesn't have a dog in the fight, because they do, and that's you. But as far as putting those emotions there, you know, they don't have that. So they're able to talk to you more freely than somebody that loves you or was raised with you and in the mama NIM category. You know, I really saw that when, you know, you and I talked.
Yeah, absolutely. Our family members love us. Our family and our friends love us. So there may be things that need to be said that they won't say. Now, again, I don't want anybody to think you come in the door the first session and we start picking you apart and we start talking about things like that. Again, the first thing we do is build that relationship. You know, so once I have that relationship, once I realize that you trust me, and, you know, we've had enough conversations where you feel comfortable with me, that's when I will probably, you know, maybe throw out something that's a little bit uncomfortable to think about once I know that you trust me, when I built up that trust. So I think that's very, very important. I can't say enough about the experience and how it changed my life, because I'm I know I would not be doing this job had it not been for my own experience.
Exactly. I didn't even know where to start. I can remember our first session. I didn't even know where to start. Mm-hmm. I didn't even, you know, you were just like, start wherever you want to start. Right. Beginning, the middle, the end, and work up, you know, I didn't even know where to start with it.
Absolutely.
But I started somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it was just really, really awesome. So I hope that one thing that you've all gotten from this, as Tricia is going to end today, is that it's okay to need counseling. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you crazy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you incapable. It doesn't say anything negative about you. Actually, it says something positive about you, mm-hmm. that you had issues and mm-hmm. that you went out and you got some help.
Yeah. You're courageous. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's what it says. It's okay not to have it all together. And I'm also encouraging myself as I say this. Mm-hmm. It's okay not to be perfect. It is okay. And I've had people actually remind me of that, because I always want to be like the perfect person. Mm-hmm. But I want to let you all know it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And that's also something that I am working through. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, God is only going to give you as much as you can bear. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, Tricia and family, I have asked him, why? A lot of times, why am I in some positions that I'm in? Mm-hmm. But why am I not in other positions that I would love to be in?
Sure.
Why do I always have to be the strength? Why do I always have to be the strong one? Uh-huh. And it's really because, you know, he made you that way. He made me that way. And the things that I've gone through in my life and worked through in my life have got me to this point, but only because I was able to work through it, take my antidepressant, take my hormone, you know, to get to this place. So it's okay. And I hope if you don't get anything from this, you get a sense of relief, a sense of comfort, to call Patricia or to call, you know, somebody else, call me, you know, let's talk about it. I've got a couple of counselors, so I can refer you to whoever, but I really hope that you get that from this, and that you like, and that you share, because one thing that I've learned, Patricia, and I know you have too, is you never know who's going to get out of what you say.
Right.
Okay, so it could be just one thing. Mm-hmm. I said one thing that Patricia said that somebody needed to hear. Mm-hmm. You may be able to help that somebody. So, Patricia, take us out. Like I said, I end with just a comment on what I know that I know that I know.
Okay. So,
let's take us out today.
Yeah, so I guess in response to that, well, just a couple of things before I go there. I'm assuming we don't have time to take any questions, which is fine, because you can always, you know, email me, call me. I do some coaching if you need that, or you can definitely call and set up an actual individual session. But I guess the thing that I would want to leave people with is that it makes a difference. I can tell you from personal experience, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. It changed my whole life, my way of thinking. Mm-hmm. It changed everything. So if you have any doubt, will this help me? Because again, a lot of people come in saying, well, so, you know, so I go in and sit down and talk about this. What's it going to do for me? Well, it's hard to explain. It is hard to explain, but Karen can also testify that it does something to you. It really does. I can't tell you what it is because it's going to be different for every person. But what I can tell you, it is going to help you, and that you do not have to struggle with these things alone. Having mental illness, having an addiction to something, it is not a character flaw. It's a coping skill. Mm-hmm. This is how we cope in life. So just know that it will help you, and you don't have to suffer alone.
Yes. Thank you so much, Patricia. And thank y'all so much for being a part of this. And I'm just going to leave you with this. Life happens. Mm-hmm. If it hasn't happened to you, keep living. It will. Mwah. Love ya. I'm going to put Patricia's information on the corner page so you'll be able to see it. You'll have her number and you'll have her email address and so forth. So thank you all so much. Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you.
You all have an amazing day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.